Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. This episode features a special teaching from one of our monthly encounter nights. The focus of these nights is to experience the presence of God, discover the ways of His Spirit, and worship Jesus extravagantly.
So tonight I'm supposed to share about one of the spiritual gifts called the Word of Knowledge. You ever heard of that before? I'm sure you've heard of knowledge. The Bible talks about it. And why don't we go ahead, if you've got a Bible and want to follow along. We're going to read some, of course. And we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Because that's where this is talked about. And, well, yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Now concerning spiritual..." This is Paul writing. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware," or other versions say, "I don't want you to be ignorant." So if Paul is writing this and he says, "I don't want you to be unaware or ignorant," he wants us to know about them, right? Yes, of course he does, because it's important that we know about these. He says, "You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray by to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit," that's capital S, Spirit, Holy Spirit of God, "says, Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God, who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For the one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit." And we'll just stop right there. It'll be tricky for me not to mention other gifts, but I will say that they will sometimes work together. They will work simultaneously or parallel, you might say. And so there's a lot of scriptural examples of the word of knowledge. And I want to encourage you. This is an old book. I got this when I went to Bible school back in the day. It's a real simple writing, Concerning Spiritual Gifts by Kenneth E. Hagin. And it's all, and this is all the book's about, is spiritual gifts. And he goes through them one at a time, gives all these several scripture examples of them. It's a great little book because he doesn't get into his own philosophy. He just says, this is what the Bible teaches. And he gives you examples, you know. But one of the things we need to realize is God is all-knowing, right? He knows everything. Yes, amen. Thank you for saying that. He knows everything. He does. It's amazing that he does, but he does. Because the Holy Spirit covers the whole earth. You know, Jesus said when he was talking, in Matthew chapter 10, he says, not even a sparrow can fall to the ground except the Father knows it. How many sparrows are on the planet? God knows. I don't. But some are dying right now. Some aren't. Some are being born. Because they're all over the place. And he knows about every single one. And then he says, Jesus also said, and he knows the numbers of your hair, the hair on your head. Well, I just lost one. Oh, that don't matter to him. He knows it anyway. I didn't really lose one. There's four or five. Holy cow. So anyway, he knows everything about us inside and out. He knows everything about the whole planet. That's a lot of knowledge. Sometimes he shares words of knowledge with us. Like if you said a sentence and just had one word, that's a fragment, right? Well, God has given you a fragment of his infinite knowledge once in a while. He'll share something with you. Now, that knowledge, in this case, the word of knowledge, he's not using, this is not a word that you're predicting or saying something about the future. This is not, because the word of wisdom is that. We won't get into wisdom tonight, but the word of knowledge is a known fact in the mind of God, and he's giving you that word of knowledge. One of the cases I really love is when Jesus met the woman at the well. He was just coming up to this well, drawn by the Holy Spirit. And the disciples went into town to get food, and she left Jesus there just with her. Well, he was at the well, and she came up, actually. And so he just starts talking to her. And later in the conversation, as, well, should we go there? Oh, gosh, I'm so tempted. We'll be here all night. Nope, can't go there. He's talking to this lady. You can go back and read the story. And what I call, he reads her mail. You know what I mean by that? Oh, I can't do that, can I? I don't want to blow up a speaker. He'll just, but I believe what Jesus is doing is as he's talking, he's listening too on the inside. Because these words of knowledge come in different ways. They can come through visions like they did with Peter on the rooftop. He got words of knowledge through that. Or Cornelius, or there's other examples all through the Bible where people got words of knowledge. They can come through a vision. They can come through just an intuition, or what we call it, or something inside of us we feel is the Lord speaking. And it can just be a thought sometimes. I've had these things happen where I just have a thought. And I'm like, why am I thinking about that? What? You know, or why would I think this or that? Or sometimes they just come out while you're praying for someone. You're not even thinking you're going to have a word of knowledge. You're just praying and boom, it happens. Because you're just in the flow of the Spirit. And I want to encourage you, you don't have to be somebody special. These men that these gifts flow through in the Bible, some of them weren't even, they were just lay people. Now, you know, Paul had them, all the men of God that walked in these things, walked in them. But you don't, it's anybody in the Bible, anybody in the body of Christ can operate in these gifts. Now, they are through this as the Spirit wills. We just can't turn on the switch and make it happen. The Bible does say there in that Corinthian part, it says, as the Spirit wills. The gifts are given, and they manifest as the Spirit wills. We're just available vessels. That's what we want to do, right? We just want to be available. We're just like saying, Lord, I'm ready. Do whatever you want to do. And just be waiting in his presence for him to speak. Or just be open wherever you go. It can happen wherever we are. It doesn't have to be just in church, right? It can happen because Jesus wasn't in church when it happened. He was at the well where people got water. Or he was in the street, walking down the street. You know, it's not about where you are except in the Spirit. It's important where you are with God, but not about geographics. And so Jesus at the well with this woman, he says, go get your husband. Remember this? And she goes, kind of has a hesitant, you know, about it. And he goes, well, she goes, I have no husband. And he goes, of course you don't. You've had five husbands, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. And she goes, whoa. And then she goes, I perceive you're a prophet. Wow, she's really smart. Because he was a prophet, but it wasn't about him being a prophet. He was operating by the spiritual gifts. He was just operating by the Spirit. Because you don't have to be a, quote, prophet like the Bible talks about the office of prophet for this thing to work through you. You can just be anybody. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a prophet. You don't have to be an apostle. You can just be regular whoever you are. And these things can work through you. They can work through little kids. They can. Now, this is not about the word of knowledge, but there was a lady, we heard her testimony when Beth and I were out at Tulsa going to school there, Broken Arrow. She came in, she had been a dancer in Las Vegas and got saved. And she had a little baby, and she told this story. She was sick, laying on her couch. But she would walk through the house speaking in tongues, you know, and praying and doing her chores and such. And her little son would hear her. And she was laying on the bed, on the couch, sick. And he came up and went, fee, fi, fo, fum, E-I-E-I-O, be healed in Jesus' name. And she was instantly healed. He had heard tongues thinking, fee, fi, fo, that's what he was doing. He thought he was speaking in tongues. I'm like, that's great faith, isn't it? He just stepped out. He didn't know. He just had heard this language, you know. I'm like, that's so cool. Have simple faith. God can use you. He wants to. He wants to flow through you. We just have to be ready. It's a gift. It's not earned. You can't be, quote, spiritual enough, so to speak, or smart enough. It's good to be spiritual. It's good to be smart. It's good to know the Word of God as much as we can get it into us and know scriptures and study out, be a good student of the word. But that doesn't earn you a place that makes you where, oh, now you're smart enough, I'll let this stuff work through you. No, they're given to you as a gift. Right? It's a spiritual what? Gift. It's not a spiritual earned chore. It's a spiritual gift given by God. And they work in different ways. Like he says here, there are varieties of effects. And there's different ways the ministry of these gifts work through people. Like at the well, Jesus had that work through him there. But when Cornelius had the vision, it actually gave him the motivation to go and do something, you know. So there's all these different things, that there's different reasons, and God, we could talk a long, long time about all that. But it comes in a variety of ways, and of course we already talked about it. But you think about John on the Isle of Patmos in Revelation, he received amazing amounts of revelation about the churches in Asia, right? And it was an open vision. An amazing thing. If you go read that, it's amazing. He goes, I was in the Spirit, and this voice that was behind him, he turns around, the Son of God. I mean, whoa. And three chapters of Jesus telling him things about all these churches. Wow. That's a major revelation. And he wrote it all down, right? It's amazing what you can get from the Spirit of God. But don't think about having to get something glorious per se. It is glorious, but it doesn't have to be, wow, spectacular. It can be just a simple thing, but it can change a life. It can. I was praying for a lady many years ago at this other church we went to back in the 1900s, and I was just holding her hands. I wasn't even trying really hard. I was just praying. I didn't even know her. She was a visitor at this little church we were at. And she came up and I was just praying for her, Lord, help this lady, and blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, I felt this boldness come up in me, and I felt something flowing through me, and I started praying against the spirit of suicide. As soon as I said that, she crumpled and hit the floor and started bawling. And I was just like, whoa, I did not expect that. And the pastor comes over and goes, I'll take over from here. You know, I was like, yeah, you go ahead. It's because she was a mess, you know. And so, but turns out, she had been battling suicide for weeks. I had no clue. I'd never seen her before in my life. But God did. And he knew that she needed a touch. And it completely redirected her life. Set her free. That was God's doing. And that's a gift he gave to bless her. And that's what these gifts are for, is to bless. Sometimes it is for setting free, like, that wasn't a correction per se. I didn't rebuke her. I was just blessing her, and it came out that way. It was rebuking the enemy, though, not her. And it set her free. And so these gifts are for that purpose, to encourage, to build up, to help further the gospel, like Peter's vision on the roof. And then those men came, and the Lord said, there's men down, because he was on the roof, right? And the Lord speaks to him, says, there's men at the door, go down. Well, he didn't know there was men at the door, but this Lord told him that there was. And he goes down, and there they were. And they had had a vision as well. Well, not they had. The centurion had, that they came from. He had had a vision. I mean, it's cool stuff. It's amazing. So we got to think about these gifts can work through us. Now, maybe in a practical way, like I was telling you about the lady that I prayed for, and there's that was just spontaneous, you might say. I wasn't sitting there waiting for the Lord to speak to me about this person. I just was praying, and it flowed out of me. But there are those times where you just sit and wait for him to speak, and it can just be a thought you start having in your head, or it can be what I call the magnetic pull. It can be something inside of you, and you're pulled towards someone to go pray for them, and then these things come out, or you can have a reoccurring, or this thing just bubbles up inside of you. The Spirit is giving you this utterance or giving you this urgency. It's something you have to kind of practice. That's what this night is about, is for us to practice, to be still and know, to listen for what the Spirit might be saying in the moment. And yeah, sometimes you have these thoughts, and it's, think about it. Now, if you have a thought of, like, go stomp on that person's foot, well, that, I don't know about that one. Now, Smith Wigglesworth, have you ever heard of Smith Wigglesworth? He punched somebody in the stomach. Yikes. You better know it's God or you're going to be in some big trouble. But this person was completely delivered and healed. It's like, better know what you're doing. But I'm not saying God won't say something a little bit out there to you to do. Like, this is not a word of knowledge, but a guy was at a gas station. Years ago, I heard this guy tell this story because he told it, he was the one that did it. He pulled in to get his gas. He was going to go in the store. But the Lord, as he's pumping gas, the Lord tells him, go inside the store and stand on your head. And he's like, oh, yeah, right. And he starts laughing. Well, he was a very, he traveled all over. He was an evangelistic type person. He was very bold. He didn't have any fear about him. He's like, yeah, right, God. You know, are you sure? You know, and he's pumping the gas. And the Lord says it again. He's like, okay. He goes walking in there, goes over by the drink cooler, stands up on his head, and leans, puts his feet against the wall. A few seconds on his head, gets down, gets his drink, walks over to the counter to pay. And the guy behind the counter goes, there is a God. And the guy goes, huh? He goes, not more than 2 minutes ago, I said, God, if you're real, make somebody come in here and stand on their head right over there. And it's exactly where he stood on his head. Now, God, why do I share that? God knows your thoughts. Now, that wasn't a word of knowledge as far as that guy was concerned. It stood on his head. But God knew about the thought. God knows what you're thinking right now. And he could say a word of knowledge because he would know that thought. Jesus talked about that, didn't he? He called some Pharisees on it and some other people about their thoughts because the Spirit of God knows your thoughts. And so God knows all this stuff about us, and he wants us to be blessed, and he wants us to be a blessing. And so, like in John the Revelator, you know, he got that stuff. And Jesus at the woman at the well. All these things are here to encourage us. Like when Saul was converted in Acts chapter 9, you know, he was blind. And the Lord spoke to someone. Let's go over there. We'll read that one, and then we'll get ready to finish up. Over in Acts chapter 9, this is a great one. Now, Saul still breathing. Oh, no, we don't read that part. So here, Saul has gotten blinded, and he couldn't see, so they had to take him to somebody's house. And says they brought him into a house in Damascus, and he was there for 3 days without sight, neither ate nor drank. That's in verse 9. Verse 10. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, get up and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming and laying his hands on him so that he might receive his sight again. Wow. Paul had a vision, and so did Ananias. Ananias is just a regular guy. It's not like he's an apostle or somebody, you know. So it says, but Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man. Of course, he knew the reputation. But he goes in there. He goes anyway. He has to go to Damascus, and he has to find that house. He has to go out. That took some faith to go and ask directions to this house. He'd never been there before. Well, he might have been to Damascus, but he probably hadn't been to that particular house. And he had to ask the directions to get there. And he had to just trust God. Well, that's true for all of us. We have to trust God with everything, whether it's a spiritual gift or just our lives in general, right? But to step out in faith and do these things, you can see some pretty amazing stuff. I mean, like I said, it comes in various ways, like the vision. I don't so much would say I've had visions. I've had maybe twice I thought what I would say maybe was a vision. But when I shut my eyes sometimes, I'll get what I say a motion picture. I'll see a video of something going on. And then the Lord helps me to interpret that, or it might be very blatantly what it is that I'm just supposed to share with somebody. And I saw this one years ago. Well, it's been maybe 4 years ago. I saw this one where I saw this. This man came in for our prophetic ministry at the other place we used to go be, and I had never met him before, never seen him before, didn't know who he was. And I closed my eyes, and I saw him out playing golf. And the Lord started speaking words about that, and he was walking down the golf course and changing clubs and stuff like that. And I just, and so when I was done receiving and seeing the picture, the video, I just got quiet and I waited, and the Lord said a couple of words that tied in with that. And I shared all that with him. And I said, "Can you relate to that?" And he said, "Yes, I'm a golf pro." I was like, "Whoa." I had no clue the guy was a golf pro. It wasn't like he walked in and said, "I'm Arnold Palmer" on a shirt or something like that. He didn't have anything that even appeared to be like golfing attire on. I just let the Spirit let me speak what the Spirit says. And he touched his life. I mean, if you met somebody for the first time, they never met you, and you told them they're a golf pro, blah, 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 blah. I didn't say you're a golf pro. I just saw you playing golf. But that let him know that God sees his life and cares about it. And I've had them where I've had different ones. I mean, I'm not going to share many of them, but I've just had different ones. One that's actually comical. Now, this is to show you how not only how good God is, he's got a sense of humor, and he's practical. Years ago, I was working on a house over here, not too far from here, about a mile away, rescreening a porch. And there was a million staples in it, at least. I don't know, it felt like it. I don't know. I had to pull them all out of the wood because you couldn't even put more staples in because there was so much staples in the wood to get the new screen on. And so I'm using these needle nose pliers, and I'm pulling all these staples out all day long. It took me to clean off half the thing. And so I got to this spot, and I just said, "I'm done for the day." So I packed up and went home, came back the next day, and I could not find those needle nose pliers in my box. I mean, I carry this box of tools, and I'm like, "Where are my pliers? I got to have them. I can't pull out the needles." You know? And so I had to use different pliers, and they're not as good, and blah, blah, blah. So I'm frustrated. I'm out there working, going along. I get about 3 feet down from where I had stopped the day before, and I heard the Lord say, "They're in the bush." No kidding. I was walking along. I looked straight down. There they were, down in a bush. I had looked all over the place there yesterday before them for those pliers. But they were in such a way that you would have had to, like, stand this way and look kind of, you know, the perfect angle to see them. I thought they'd be laying on the ground somewhere. I didn't have a clue. But the Lord said, "They're in the bush." And I'm like, "You care about my pliers?" Well, he didn't care about the pliers. He cares about me. But don't you think that's a little bit funny, though, right? Like, why would he even think that? Well, because we can practice these gifts in everyday life. I'd ask for him for help a lot around here when I'm doing stuff. And he'll speak to me sometimes and say, "Try it this way." Because he's smarter than we are. Do you realize that? Do you realize that? God is smarter than you? Well, of course he is. And he knows what we need before we ever ask, the Bible says, right? He knows what your neighbor needs before they ever ask. You can be one that could actually help catapult somebody forward in the kingdom of God just by sharing a simple word with them that would let them know that God cares about their life. And it might be through a word of knowledge that you get that you can share with them and touch them and set them free or just help them to make that step of faith forward that they otherwise wouldn't have done. Because sometimes we're locked up in something. And that word can be that it would speak and then we're set free and we're able to walk forward. And, you know, it can be about anything because God knows everything about us. Doesn't matter what you need, he knows it. And he knows what it is that you need to help set you free. So I want to encourage you tonight. There's going to be worship playing here shortly. Just during the worship, yeah, worship the Lord, dance, twirl, whatever you want to do. But be listening. Pay attention to what you think about. Pay attention to what's down inside your heart. But stand still, and what I call the magnetic pull is I might just be standing like this, And I'll feel this some like pulling me this side of the room. So I'll kind of look over there, and then I'll see the Lord's highlighted someone. You know what I mean by highlighted? Doesn't mean I see a light over them, but I just tend to focus. It's like everywhere I look, I keep coming back to this one person. And then the Lord will say maybe a word for that, or maybe I just need to go pray for them. But just be open for that, right? And you might get a word of knowledge, because this is all by the Spirit. We're just wanting to let the Spirit work here, right? You willing to do that? You willing to let the Holy Spirit work through you to bless somebody else? He wants to. It's just a matter of you saying yes. And then, yeah, it might be a little scary at first. And it's not all about being perfect at it, but it is about being doing it by faith. But also, this is not a show. What motivates you needs to be the love of God. Because if you read later on in that book, the 13th chapter, we can do all this wonderful stuff, and what? Without love, it's it's nothing. So let love motivate you. In other words, I like to say, you know, the Bible says faith works by love. I like to say love is faith's fuel, or should be. So be motivated. Let that love flow through you. I mean, there's a couple of places in the Bible where it says Jesus was moved with compassion. Let that happen to you. Let that love be flowing through you when you go to share something with somebody. You're not going there just so, like, I'll show them, by golly, or look at me, I'm something cool. No, you're not. Well, you might be cool, I don't know, but you could be. But I'm just saying, you know, let the love of God work through you, not just so you can do your stuff, so to speak. All right? Amen?